You're listening to Feedback with Bill Saunders on News Talk 830 WEEU and 830WEEU.com. A new generation of talk.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Feedback. You're on air Town Square here on the Voice of Berks and Beyond, News Talk 830 WEEU. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders along with Sean Tansky. Our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800. Toll free if you're calling from out of the area. Yes, indeed. It's 888-401-0459. And the email address here is feedback at 830weeu.com. And if you want us to read your email on the air, don't forget the following. Include your first name, the town you live in, and let us know whether or not we have your permission to read it on the air. And we're also on a couple of social media platforms, are we not, Sean?
Yep, we're on Twitter /X at Feedback WEEU and on Facebook at Feedback WEEU.
In fact, we have a question out there now that we'd like you to answer. Pertains to the fact that Nikki Haley is going to bow out of the race sometime today. She's expected to, hasn't done it yet. The question is, now that it's just Donald Trump in the race, how is that impacting our election, which isn't for another 47 days here in Pennsylvania? April 23rd, I believe, is the date for our primary. First, the question that appears on Facebook and Twitter is, what do you think about that? The fact that it's now boiled down to just one candidate in the GOP field. The further question is, and I'd like to hear from you, should we in the future move our primary date up so that we have more of a say in the primary election than what we have this year and in prior years? Clearly, the decision's already been made for the Republican Party, and it seems likely it's also been made for the Democratic Party, even before we get to cast a vote. Is that fair for us? Let us know what you think about that. Well, in the meantime, let's look at today's top three topics. Montgomery County commissioners allocate COVID relief funds to aid in eviction prevention in the county. Democratic lawmakers hold a meeting in Chester County on education funding. And Nikki Haley, as I said, is expected to bow out of the race for president today. How will that impact Pennsylvania's primary election, which isn't for another 47 days? All right, with that said, first and foremost, this note, if I have trouble reading today, there's a reason behind that. And it has to do with something that happened last night. I sat on my glasses and broke them, okay? All right, it's out in the open now. They now look like an accordion. And one of the lenses popped out because the frame just was totally destroyed. That's what I get for sitting on my glasses and forgetting where I put them before I sat down on my bed. Because every night, before I go to bed, I like to read.
Yeah.
And of course, before I do that, I do my thing in the bathroom. And to do that, I mean, washing my face is one of the things. So I take my glasses off. And typically, I put my glasses on a pillow so I don't sit on them along with the book that I'm going to read. But last night, for some reason, I put the book on the pillow, but the glasses I put right smack dab on the part of the mattress where I would place my derriere. And unfortunately, I forgot all about that. And just moments after I did it, I forgot all about it, and I went to sit down. I thought, something doesn't feel right. And then it dawned on me, oh, no, I sat on my glasses, and sure enough, I broke the thing.
These are prescription glasses, right?
You have these are prescriptions, but it's a real old prescription.
Okay.
So for me, you know, we're going to see if I'm able to read.
Yeah. Do you not use contacts?
I can't. Not with the problem that I have with my eyesight. The eye doctor tried to, because I wanted to see if I could get prescription contact lenses. But unfortunately, given the problem I have with my eyesight, I have to go with glasses, unfortunately. And thank God for that, because with my shaking hands, Very likely, if I had contact lenses, very likely I would drop them and not be able to find them anywhere. So I'm better off with glasses as it is. But this is the first time that I've ever broken a pair of glasses in my entire 68 years of living.
Wow. I was telling you before the show, I've gone through quite a good amount of pairs throughout my life. I got my prescribed glasses before fourth grade. So back
wow,
when I was
really?
Yeah, back when I was nine, because in third grade, by the end of the year, I just remember I couldn't see where I was sitting in class. I just couldn't see the board. So I needed to get glasses, and I've had them ever since. And I was going to try contacts, but I couldn't. I was so fidgety with trying to put them in. I just thought, no, you know what? I'll stick with glasses. I'm used to it. I'll just stick with that.
That's the other problem with contact lenses. When you have tremors, like I do, trying to get them in your eye is rather difficult.
Yeah.
So I gave up on that one. And I'm, you know, for me, I guess I'm lucky. You say that you were in elementary school when you got your first pair of glasses.
Yeah.
For me, it wasn't until I was close to 50.
Yeah, that is pretty lucky. Yeah, now pretty much every single picture from 9 to how I am 23 now, it's all just me in glasses. I've been in glasses longer than I was without them.
Do you feel weird when you see yourself without glasses
on?
A
little bit, yeah. I remember my friends were like, well, like I tried contacts for like, because you have to do a trial period
to make sure you can.
And I tried it, and I just didn't really like it. And they were like, whoa. And it's sort of like now I have a beard now. And as soon as I graduated high school, because I went to a Catholic high school, and they wouldn't let you have any facial hair.
Are you serious? Really?
Really, yep.
Wow.
As soon as I graduated, that summer I grew one in. And it's, since then I've kept it. And last October I decided to shave just because I wanted to see what I look like. All my friends are like, please go back to the beard.
Yeah, you look weird without the beard.
Yeah, because it's been 6 years now that I've graduated high school and I've just had the beard.
Oh, shut up. Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness me. And here I felt bad when I sat on my glasses. Now I feel even worse. You say 6 years since you've been in high school.
That was not my intention.
Oh, my goodness me. My producers, they all age me, no matter what I do. Anyway, so we'll see how we do with these. I mean, every once in a while it gets blurry on me. So if I misread, please understand. And I have my sunglasses here somewhere. There they are, which are also prescriptions. And so if I have a problem, I may switch over to wearing sunglasses in the studio here in order to see better. Although they're the same prescription as these are. But go figure, I can actually see better.
That's weird. Are they like actual sunglasses?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so they're not, because your other one, don't you have the transitional lens?
Oh, that's what these are.
Okay, yeah, I used to have those.
Yeah.
These are actual sunglasses.
Yeah, these are, what are they, Maui Jims? Yeah, Maui Jims,
yeah,
and that they have prescription lenses.
I think I want to get myself a pair of prescription sunglasses, because in the summertime, especially, I'm outside all the time.
Same here.
So I think I'll invest in a pair.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's a little expensive to have a second pair, but in this case, I'm glad I kept my old glasses, because normally I give the frames away, so that other people can benefit from having the frames. But for some reason, this time I kept the old glasses, and I'm glad I did. Or I'd be walking around.
Yeah, it worked out.
Oh, my, oh, my. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about what's going on in Montgomery County first. This I got from the Mercury this morning. Nearly $3 million was allocated recently by the county commissioners there in Montgomery for eviction prevention as an affordable housing crisis continues in the county. Yeah, tell me about it. I live down there. A roughly $2.9 million agreement between the Montgomery County Department of Health and Human Services and YWCA Tri-County Area of Pottstown was authorized during a county commissioners meeting last month for that organization to serve as a social services partner for eviction prevention, reports the Mercury. Funding for the contract was derived from federal COVID-19 relief dollars. The Pottstown-based nonprofit is tasked with providing eviction prevention services until June 30th of next year, according to the agreement and according to this article in the Mercury, which includes three optional annual renewal terms. The eviction prevention services will include having three case managers working out of eight courts across Montgomery County, according to Elise Chesson, who is Chief Advancement Officer with YWCA Tri-County Area. The funding will be used for rental assistance as well as case management and other support services. And they do have quite a problem down there. And we talked recently about the homeless problem in the borough of Pottstown and trying to relocate those folks from just near the Schuylkill River to other areas to help them out there as well. Let me know if you have any input that you'd like to share with us on that particular story. And then there's this, that the Daily Local there in Chester County is reporting on. They say that Democratic state legislators and education officials from Chester and Montgomery counties gathered yesterday to review a report on the continuing underfunding of public education in the state, an issue that appears stuck between the two parties in Harrisburg. In fact, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow with House Majority Leader Matt Bradford. He'll be with me during the 11 o'clock hour. And unfortunately, I found out last night that he can only be with me for half an hour, from 11 to 11:30. Well, it's when you get right down to it, it's going to be less than 30 minutes because we've got news in there and sports. So by the time all that's taken into consideration, I'm only going to have 20 minutes of on-air time, and that's pushing our commercial breaks back a little bit. So we're not going to be able to take questions from callers. I was kind of hoping that Mr. Bradford could be with me for the whole hour, but his schedule precludes that. So, but one of the questions I'm definitely going to ask him pertains to the governor's plan in his budget to fund education and also property tax relief for senior citizens. So stay tuned for that. That's tomorrow during the first half of the 11 o'clock hour here on Feedback. Not tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow is Thursday. Back to this Daily Local article. The meeting of the State House Majority Policy Committee was hosted by State Representative Danielle Friel Otten of Euclid Township. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. And it featured comments from a school board member from the Pottstown School District, according to a press release that was issued by the committee. After years of chronic underfunding, state lawmakers should focus on how much investment in public education is needed, experts detailed in this meeting. Legislators are awaiting a full, detailed proposal on how to address the issue from the Shapiro administration. Friel Otten, whose district encompasses central Chester County, is quoted in this Daily Local piece as saying the following. We heard directly from officials, administrators, and taxpayers on the tragic consequences from decades of chronic underfunding of education. She went on to say, underfunding has not only had drastic effects on students, including class size increases and slashing school library funding, but it also has placed an undue burden on residents through increased property taxes. There you go. Experts at the hearing explained how an absence of fair and equitable funding at the state level for public education has caused financial burdens for residents, forcing taxpayers to cover the shortfall in funding when property taxes are raised to fund local schools. Again, I'm reading directly from the Daily Local article here. It went on to say, while affluent school districts might be able to correct the injustice through higher property taxes, many districts, such as those in Octorara, Coatesville, and Pottstown, are left behind. During testimony, a Pottstown School District board member by the name of Laura Johnson explained how her district had the fourth highest tax burden in the state. Experts also detailed how a lack of funding has had a negative impact on teachers, staffing, and early learning education. Committee Chairman Ryan Bizarro is quoted in this piece as saying the following. Pennsylvania needs to support all our school districts and bring them into constitutional compliance. Lack of educational resources not only directly affects the next generation, but it also negatively impacts taxpayers, education staff salaries, workforce development, and public safety. Well, in his budget, the Governor Shapiro, back in February, took the first step in what is shaping up to be a complicated years-long process to respond to a court decision that came down last year that found that Pennsylvania's system of public school funding violated the constitutional rights of students in the poorest districts throughout the state. The governor's budget recommendations, and again, I'm going to talk about this as well in the short amount of time that I have with Mr. Bradford tomorrow, but the governor's budget recommendations envisioned a seven-year process of ramping up to a funding increase of more than $6.5 billion a year. That's billion with a B, which was a little slower than what had been sought by the school districts that won the landmark case a year ago. Now, meanwhile, Republican lawmakers have signaled that they are unwilling to significantly spend down the state's considerable reserves or raise taxes to fulfill the long-term funding schedule. And I'm going to talk about the resistance of the Republican Party with Representative Bradford tomorrow. The GOP have also avoided engaging in the question of how much more money for public schools is required in order to satisfy that court ruling from last year. Instead, they're suggesting using taxpayer dollars to send more students to private schools, talked about what sort of curriculum will improve test scores, and questioned how to gauge the effectiveness of any spending increase. So there you have it. That represents, in a nutshell, the two sides, the Democratic side and the Republican side, to addressing this decision that came down, I believe, from the Commonwealth Court on education funding here in the state of Pennsylvania. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, I'd love to hear from you. Again, our phone numbers are 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. Wait till you hear what PennDOT and the governor are all in favor of doing. That when feedback, your on-air town square continues in just a bit. Stay with us.
News you can use.
I feel more informed when I listen.
News Talk 830, WEEU.
And now back to feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
We'll go to the phones in a moment. We've got a couple of people on hold who want to talk about the issues we've addressed so far this morning. So bear with us. Sean, we've been promoting the fact that we're doing podcasts now, and we've been listing off what platforms they're available on. We now have an addition to include, do we not?
That is correct. That is Apple Podcasts. We have been promoting that one. There was an issue with the upload stream, but we were able to get that fixed. So we now are officially on Apple Podcasts. All of our episodes are. I checked myself.
Okay.
On Apple Podcasts, we are all up. I was listening to them. They're all, there's no issues there. So you can't get them on Apple Podcasts.
So real quick, go over all the platforms that people can hear
the show.
So
the big three, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, we're all there on podcasts.
Cool.
Still working to get SoundCloud, still working to get Radio FM. Those will be up soon. But for the most part, anywhere you, if you use any app to listen to podcasts, odds are we're on there.
And we're on our web, on our on the station's website,
yep,
too,
and
right?
If you would want to go to 830weu.com, on the top right there in the little tab is podcasts. You click that, and you'll see feedback along with Jack's Backyard, Mornings with Mike, and collection of sports that we've broadcasted here on WEEU.
And you and I, after the show yesterday, were looking at the numbers of people who have been downloading the podcast, and we've only been doing this for about a week now,
yeah.
And already the numbers are looking good.
Yeah, no, so we're happy that we have podcasts out there, and we're happy that this is a medium that people want to use, because podcasts are great. I listen to podcasts a ton. There's many different podcasts. I love them, and I'm happy that we're able to make this show into a podcast, because it's, and you know, if you miss it in the morning, you have it anytime you want, and you can listen to it anytime you want.
And I want to thank Sean, because he's the one who edits the show, which is not an easy job, believe me, edits it down so that it is in podcast form, and he does that immediately after the show is over. So I thank you, buddy, for doing
that. Yeah, no problem. I feel like I'm getting a bit better at it, and hopefully as my time here goes. Hopefully I get it to be even better than what it is now.
Oh, you're doing great.
I think as show goes on, you'll see that I'm getting better with the podcast.
No,
hopefully that's a
great.
Better quality for everybody.
No, I'm very happy. I mean, it's I'm so glad that with what you're able to do and how quickly you're able to do it, so I do appreciate that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's head over to Sinking Spring and speak with Sam about school funding issues. Sam, good morning. Welcome to Feedback today.
Well, good morning, Bill, and thank you for having me on. Listen, if more dollars equaled more scholars, Pennsylvania would be swimming in Einsteins, but it is not. It happens to be one of the most well-funded states. And let's take a look at what's going on here. Bill, do you know that it costs more than $19,000 to fund a student in the Reading School District? $19,000. Do you know how much Penn State University in-state tuition is per student? $19,800. Not that much of a difference. When you go upstate into Harrisburg School District, you have about the same $19,000 per student figure, but you also have single digits in proficiency in math and reading. So what is the return on investment for taxpayers? You cited folks like Friel Auten. You cited folks like Ryan Bizarro. You cite, and you will have on your show, a gentleman by the name of Bradford. These are people clutching pearls about funding who have actually helped bankrupt our pension system, have absolutely gone again and again to the well for taxpayers to pay more, this mantra of more. And all the while, what are we receiving back on our return of our investment but failure? These folks don't care about outcome. What they care about, Bill, very clearly, is who funds them into the state house, and that is the PSEA. So I am tired of hearing about it's about the kids, because clearly it's not. We are failing, and this mantra of more needs to stop.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that you called in today, Sam, because one of the things that gets to me is that here we're talking about the state providing more funding for education to help alleviate property tax. Well, when you take a look at it, what are we actually doing here? We're taking money out of one pocket and putting it into the other. In other words, yeah, we may get property tax relief out of this, but yet maybe our state income tax will have to go up in order to fund what the state says it's going to allocate to the education system. So how are we really getting relief? And this is one of the questions that I'm going to ask Mr. Bradford tomorrow. And yeah, you point out that so far I have highlighted the positions of the Democrats here in the state, but we will have Republican legislators on here to share their view on education funding and other things as well.
Well, I appreciate that, Bill, and put the screws to both of them, because right now we are subsidizing failure at an alarming rate. And when we talk about this concept of property relief, property tax relief, how many years have we heard about this, Bill? Do you remember back when they sold us this, we're bringing gambling and these casinos into Pennsylvania because it's going to offset property tax relief. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
How much relief did we get to that? This is always a shell game. It's a shell game that's executed to perfection by the left and enabled by the right, who had the ability to actually do some great relief when we had both chambers of the legislature in Republican hands, and also had the governorship with Corbett. And they did nothing, Bill.
Yeah.
They squandered it away. So all of this is just a regurgitation of what seems to work, which is just bamboozling your taxpayers and bamboozling your electorate. So please put the screws to all these folks. I appreciate you taking on this topic.
Sam, thanks for calling. I appreciate the fact that you took the time to do so. Love what you had to say. All right, let's go to Wyomissing and speak with Richard this morning. Richard, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Oh, good morning. I just wanted to give you a quick update. Maybe you've heard already. At 10 o'clock today, Nikki Haley's going to make an announcement, and all the news media and the USA Today say they can guarantee that, you know, she's going to announce that she's dropping out. But I just wanted to give a couple quick updates on Super Tuesday. Biden really exceeded expectations on Super Tuesday. He got more than 80% and often more than 90% in every one of the primaries except for Tennessee, where he got 77%, and American Samoa, where he lost. There were a total of 840 votes, and he lost by 11 to a businessman or something. On the other hand, Trump not only lost Vermont, but he only beat Nikki Haley from 20% to 30% and in most of the things. But she is, going to drop out. I guess she feels there's no, path for her. But under normal circumstances, I just have two things to read there. One's from, they're very short, and one's from New York Times and one's from Washington Post. The one from New York Times says, under normal circumstances, it does make sense for her to quit, knowing that she has almost no chance of winning, and to support the presumptive nominee. However, these are not normal times, and considering that the last person standing is the most corrupt and unworthy individual who ever ran for president with many criminal charges, I believe that she's doing the most noble thing by staying in the race as long as she did. That's the one thing. The other thing from the Washington Post has to do with Biden's mental acuity, and it says that they had all these news men and women asking questions of both Biden and Trump on various stages, and they said, you can mention almost any topic, whether it's the Sudan, Ukraine, the economy, the border, whatever, and Biden is sharp as a tack and knows all kind of policy positions, has various solutions, et cetera, and willing to compromise. Whereas, Trump, it doesn't seem has read or did much research into any of the topics. He has no platform, et cetera. And I don't know, we're always acting as if Biden is so unstable. But last, I guess it was Saturday or Sunday, March 2nd in Richmond, when Trump was talking, and it was so full of, slurred words, confusion, outright lies, calling, Nancy Pelosi, Nikki Haley, et cetera. And it said, yet most of the papers in the country, including the New York Times, and the Reading Eagle, were running a front page article about how unpopular Biden is and his worries about and the people's worries about his age. But, Biden's 81, Trump 78. And if you've ever had any relative who was going through any kind of mental collapse and confusion, it seems Trump is really the one who is in that shape.
Well, let me ask you this, Richard. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If what you say is true, why is it then that there are so many polls out today that show the majority of Americans feel this country is on the wrong track?
Partially because, maybe they ask the wrong questions about is the country on the wrong track. Like, they'll say, do you think we're going in the right direction or the wrong direction? And most people say no, but the question is open-ended or flawed, that it could trigger thoughts of people to respond negatively because of issues like the lack of sane gun control, the lack of access to abortion, the activist Supreme Court, the rise of Christian nationalism that's embodied in the current Speaker of the House. I don't think voters attribute all the frustrations over such issues to President Biden.
All right, so let me ask you this. Okay, enough of this. Let me ask you this then. So you're saying that it's not the public that finds fault with the country, it's the wording that the pollsters use.
No, I also think it's the misinformation that they're hit with constantly on platforms like Fox News, you know, and they just get it all, and they repeat the same lies about Hunter Biden or about Biden.
So there's no misinformation on the left. Is that what you're saying?
No, you know better.
No, I don't know better because I'm asking you. You're saying Fox News. How about the left? Is there misinformation on the left?
There's not outright lies like the other night on late night when people were saying, why was, you know, Biden eating an ice cream cone while the rest of the city is afraid of crime and migrants? But yet, if you look at the facts, nationally violent crime is, at least according to the FBI, at a 50-year low.
All right, let me ask you this. You're saying that Biden is so in control of the facts. Then why is he only going on these late night shows to do interviews and not talking to real hard journalists?
Well, tomorrow you'll see him on the State of the Union address. I mean, he goes on.
No, answer my question. Answer my question. Why is it if he's
in answer to your question?
Okay, thank you.
He's not a good public speaker. He has a stutter, and you know, people like to be entertained with all types of, you know, rhetoric. He's not good at rhetoric. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have control of the issues or he's lacking in mental acuity.
If anyone's lacking in that,
it's Donald Trump.
But Richard, we're talking about a man who's been a politician most of his life, and you're saying he doesn't have a command of rhetoric? How did he last for nearly 50 years?
He's not a good public speaker because of his stutter and because of some age factors, but just because, you know, he's not as sharp walking or whatever as he was 15 or 20 years ago doesn't mean that he's not fit to serve. Franklin Roosevelt was in a, you know, wheelchair, and the press tried to hide that.
Right, I understand all that. But again, I go back to, and you're not really answering my question. How much easier can I make it for you? Why is it that he?
One more time, then.
That's what I'm going to do, and then we've got a break here after you answer this question. Why is it that this president is only going before late night talk show hosts for interviews and not with the hard journalists?
Well, maybe that's a valid criticism that it's going to change. His advisors are saying, go out and show how robust and how in control of the issues you are. I think you're going to see that. You're going to see it. You're going to see it tomorrow night in the State of the Union.
All right. We'll see how we do. Richard, thank you. I appreciate your call today.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye now. 610-374-8800, toll-free, 888-401-0459. If you'd like to weigh in on the topics of the day, give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'll be back with more feedback in just a bit.
Serving Collegeville, North Wales, King of Prussia, and all of Montgomery County, this is News Talk 830 WEEU.
And now back to feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
By the way, on feedback Facebook page, we've got a question out there for you, and it reads as follows. Going to get to the phone in just a minute with Jim in Reading, but bear with me. The question is, Nikki Haley is expected to suspend her presidential campaign today. And as Richard in Wyomissing pointed out, that's going to be around 10 o'clock this morning in about 12 minutes from now. That will leave Donald Trump as the lone candidate in the remainder of the primary season on the Republican side. With Pennsylvania voters having to wait another 47 days before casting their vote, should our presidential primary date be moved to an earlier date in the future, so we have a greater say in the outcome? Love to hear from you on that one. Log on to facebook.com/feedbackWEEU and weigh in on that topic today as well, okay? All right, with that said, let's go back to the phones right now. Jim in Reading wants to weigh in on some topics. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, thank you. First time caller.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Just had to phone in concerning the last caller with Richard saying some of the comments with what's going on with the country. And I think as far as the polls and so forth, now, a couple of the things that he didn't mention that I think a lot of the voters and a lot of the people in the country are looking at is the economy and the border. You know, that's why I think the polls are so bad for Biden right now. And, you know, especially the economy, that hits everybody hard, you know, everyday life.
Well, you also have members of his own party who are dissatisfied with his position on Israel.
Correct. Correct. So, I don't know. You know, a lot of those, you can tell he's from the left and, you know, that's just the way he talks and so forth. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think the left just doesn't get it sometimes. But
and, of course, they'll say the same thing about people on the right, too, Jim.
Oh, true, true. Yeah, there's, you know, but I think it's this election's going to come down to the, you know, not the hardliners on either side. It's going to be the people. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of turnout they have with this election based on the candidates we have. I always say it's amazing that the number of people in this country, what we get for candidates to run for offices. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I want to see, speaking of turnout, very good point there. I want to see how the turnout for our primary is impacted, if at all, now that Nikki Haley is going to back out, leaving Donald Trump the lone candidate on the Republican side.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a low turnout.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. All right, Jim, thank you. I thank you for calling in for the first time. I hope it's not the last time that you call into the show.
All right. I appreciate it, Bill.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, before we go to our last commercial break of this first hour of feedback, I want to share this with you that I got out of the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Shapiro administration said Monday it supports giving non-citizens driver's licenses, following a trend across the Mid-Atlantic that posits the policy change as a safety measure. And Representative Mike Cable, a Republican from Luzerne County, is quoted in this Inquirer piece as saying, there are reports of over a dozen states that already allow non-citizens, including illegal immigrants, to obtain driver's licenses. He said, meanwhile, federal DHS, or Department of Homeland Security policy, stipulates that states could offer those with TPS, or temporary protected status, a real ID. 18 states, including Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, and New York, already do so, according to the Inquirer. A similar effort, House Bill 769, has been proposed and sits in the Transportation Committee. But the effort so far has the support of the executive. The issuance of driver's license products to undocumented immigrants is something that the department supports, that I support, so says PennDOT Secretary Mike Carroll. He says, and the governor supports it, with safeguards necessary to make sure that folks that are issued those products are treated the same as folks that have a regular driver's license. Well, Representative Seth Grove, a Republican from York County, asked how many driver's licenses have been issued to immigrants under TPS, or this temporary protected status, over the last decade. And Carroll said that PennDOT would follow up with him to get the data. So far, we don't have an answer to that particular question. But I'd like to get your take on this in the next hour, since we're out of time in hour number one. Do you think that the state should do what the governor and what the secretary of PennDOT is suggesting here, that we issue driver's licenses or real IDs or both to non-citizens here in the state of Pennsylvania? Love to hear from you on that topic. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more feedback on this Wednesday morning in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Bethel, Hamburg, Birdsboro, and all of Berks County, this is News Talk 830 WEEU.
And now back to feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Welcome back to Feedback, your on-air town square, as we kick off hour number two of the show today. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders, along with Sean Tansky. And our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800, toll-free 888-401-0459. And our email address here is feedback at 830weeu.com. And there are a couple of things we talked about in the first hour that I'd like to hear from you on. One of them happens to be the topic of a meeting that was held in Chester County yesterday that some Democratic lawmakers held on education funding. And the I believe it was the Commonwealth Court that issued a ruling that says that the state's got to go back and rethink how it's funding public schools because it's leaving several districts, a number of districts, in sad shape, shall we say, from a financial standpoint, and that we need to be more equitable in the distribution of our funding. And of course, this is in line with an idea that Governor Shapiro is promoting in his budget that he has proposed for this year. And we're going to talk about this with State House Leader Matt Bradford tomorrow, House Majority Leader Matt Bradford tomorrow during the 11 o'clock hour. And I wish I had the full hour to talk with him tomorrow, but unfortunately we do not. We found out late yesterday that given his a change in his schedule, that he can only be with me for half an hour. But because of news and sports at the top of the hour, that means I'm only going to have 20 minutes with him tomorrow. So unfortunately there won't be enough time for listeners to call in with their questions, as I had hoped we could do. But one of the things I'm definitely going to address with him is this issue of education funding. I know that's one of the topics that he wants to address, but I also want to find out from him where we stand on property tax relief, because it's not just Democrats, it's also Republicans. Every time they run for office, what is one of the things that they promise us? That they're going to give us property tax relief. And yet we're really not seeing anything tangible from that. So I'm going to find out from him where we stand on that. So that's one thing that we talked about in the first hour that we can continue discussing and getting your take on. And then there's the article from The Inquirer that I ended the last hour with that I'd love to get your take on, both the governor and the head of PennDOT are both in favor of issuing driver's licenses and real IDs to non-citizens here in Pennsylvania. Want to get your take on that. Again, our numbers are 610-374-8800 and 888-401-0459 if you're calling from out of the area. With that in mind, let's go back to the phones right now. Irene in Burnville is on the line, wants to talk about the driver's license issue. Irene, good morning. Welcome to the show today.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a couple questions. Number one, with real ID, you almost have to sign your life away to get it.
You do, don't you?
How can they can't even tell a lot of who these people, the people are? How can they get a real ID?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, let's see. The requirements are a birth certificate. You also have to provide proof of residence, and I think you also have to show your driver's license. Do you not?
Or some other form of ID. Or
yeah, or some other form of ID.
And it was one other thing. I had to show because I was married.
Oh, that's true, too.
I had to show a change of name.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's like, how are they going to even prove that? Because they are saying so many people are coming across the border with no ID.
Yeah, you're raising a very good point there, and maybe what we need to do is get the PennDOT secretary on the show with us and get some answers to these questions, because that's a good point, Irene.
And is it going to show on the ID that they are in the country illegally, whatever, however they want to phrase it. So they can't use it to, for say, go to vote, go to, you know, get other, you know, a hospital has to let you in no matter what. But is it going to show it so at least people have an idea?
Well, these are the only migrants who would be given a driver's license or a real ID are those that have been given temporary protected status.
So are they given that after they go to court, or is it when they come across the border?
It could be when they come across the border. I mean, remember that there were a couple of countries that the Biden administration targeted as those who would get the temporary protected status. And off the top of my head, I don't remember what the countries are, but they're countries in South America, or Central America, that pertained to.
Okay, but still, is it going to show that? You know, because it's going to raise a lot of questions about voter ID.
Again, that's a good question, and I wish I had the transportation secretary on with me this morning to be able to address that directly for you.
Okay, and the other thing, too, if they can prove who they are, if they have the birth certificate or some ID, because, like I said, a lot of them come across, you know, without, they say no ID, mm-hmm. where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think put some requirements in, be able to read English, so you can read road signs. You know, have limitations. Because right now, you know as well as I do, if somebody wants to drive a car, driver's license or not, they're going to do it.
Well, they still have, I would imagine that they would still have to take a driver's test. I mean,
isn't
that's a requirement in order to get a driver's license, is it not?
That's it, but do they have to read the signs?
Yeah, and so I would imagine that that's already built into the whole process there, I would think.
I have no idea. I haven't taken a driver's test for...
You and me both.
Yeah.
Let's see if Sean has an answer to that.
Yeah, so when I took my driver's license test, there is the written portion of it. That's
right.
How you get your permit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take the written part where you have to know the rules, regulations, signs, all of that. That's to get your permit. Then 6 months later, you're eligible to test for your driver's license. And that's where you do the actual physical driving. That's where you have to parallel park,
right.
Drive, follow all the rules. But I don't know if that's going to be what this is, but for here, you have to, the written portion of that is your permit test.
Yeah, I would imagine they're not going to make any exceptions when it comes to issuing driver's licenses to non-residents if the requirement is there for people who live in the state who are residents of Pennsylvania.
I'm just saying the world is right now, who knows?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But good points. You're raising some valid points.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, because we had, this goes, like I said, back years. In Germany, you had to take a test. You know, we didn't have to actually do the driving test.
Mm-hmm.
The military ID worked in Germany, but if you went anywhere else in Europe, you had to get an international driver's license.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, it was asking, you know, for the test and everything else. And you had to, you know, test your, you know, it wasn't a driving simulator like now, but it's like, okay, something comes up, do you have the reaction to take care of it?
Okay.
But it's, you know... Like I said, they're going to do it anyway, but, you know, I can see problems coming up. You know, they're going to get questions about voting, of course.
So the bottom line here, stepping aside from the questions that you've raised here, Irene, what are your thoughts? Do you think that we should be issuing driver's licenses or real IDs to non-residents or no?
I say real IDs, no. The driver's license, if they're here, it's, I'd rather... somebody be on the road that at least knows the rules of the road,
mm-hmm.
instead of somebody that just is going to drive anyway and not know anything.
Okay.
You know, that's my only comment there, you know, because face it, they're going to drive.
Okay. Irene, thank you. I appreciate you weighing in today.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to Richard. Richard, good morning. Welcome to the phone. Welcome to feedback. And I understand you want to talk about a phone scam here.
Well, yeah, well, I got a little more basic question than that, but in regard to the previous caller, when I was born back in the dinosaur age of 1954, we got a birth certificate at birth. You know, our parents got that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the ID form back then. Then when you went to school, you would get of age where you can get a learner's permit at 16. You had to provide that, and your parents had to go there and sign that and do this and any other thing. Then when you turn 18, you can apply for the regular driver's license.
You had to wait till 18.
Well, yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn. Excuse me.
Okay, because here in Pennsylvania, it's 16 that we can get that we can apply for a driver's license.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Everyone's a little bit different, but I mean, my grandparents come over from Italy and Ireland, and they went to Ellis Island, and they had to go through whatever the rules and regulations back then. And then when my parents were born, they were born here, so they got a social security number. And when I was born, we had to get issued by our parents, apply for a social security number, an ID. And then, you know, it progresses from there. Each state has different regulations. I just have a basic question. Take a deep breath. What law enforcement agency covers where I live?
What law enforcement? I'm not following you, Richard. Be a little more specific for me there.
All right. I live on Skyline Drive. It's 19606, which is only, according to the post office. And it's just outside of Muhlenberg, outside of Laureldale, and outside of Ole. I don't know who covers this here now, the state police or what?
I wish I had a direct answer for you, but not living in that area, I don't know. I'm hoping maybe somebody who's listening will be able to answer that. But off the top of my head, I don't know.
And also, as far as the ID and all this other stuff goes, we have numerous tractor trailer operators, bus operators coming out from other countries, and they go through the process. I don't know how they go through it, and they get their state IDs or federal IDs or whatever they need, their CDL licenses. There's an answer out there. It's just we all got to go through the fishing net and the rat's nest to get to the information.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and I'm going to check into this after I'm off the air here today to see if we can get PennDOT's secretary to come on the show, because we're getting some good questions here from this particular issue.
And I'll give you information off the air if you're willing or you can or whatever. I don't want to make you overstep your bounds as far as getting in touch with me with the questions I ask.
All right. Tell you what, I'll put you back on hold and get your information, give your information over to Sean, the producer, okay?
Okay. I keep thinking of different names out there, your co-producer or whatever that is, but I'll try to remember Sean.
All right. Hold on. I'll put you back on hold, and Sean will pick up and get that information from you, okay?
I should remember that name because that's my youngest son's name.
All right,
God
buddy.
God bless you, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling in today. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Pleasure to hear.
Right.
Keep on that side of the mic.
You got it, buddy. Hang on. I'll put you on hold. And, Sean, if you want to pick that up, I'd appreciate it, buddy. And with that, let's go to Reading and talk to Marie. Marie, good morning. Welcome to Feedback today.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine on my end. How are you on your end?
I can't complain. So I guess if I really tried, I could, but I'm not going to go there. I wanted to comment on the driver's license topic. I do not agree with it in any way, shape, or form. And the reason that I don't agree with it is because I think it's a very slippery slope. That once we start issuing driver's licenses, the next thing is going to be voters voting in local elections like they are in California. And then it's going to be state elections. I just feel it's a slippery slope. And if you are here in this country illegally, you need to become legal. You need to apply for citizenship or do whatever they have to do. And then they can get all the perks and benefits of being a citizen of Pennsylvania. That's my opinion on that. I feel like a driver's license opens the door to things that I don't believe illegal immigrants should be allowed in. I just don't.
Do you think that that is the governor's goal here?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. The Liberal Party is in lockstep with each other that the main reason for all of the illegals being allowed to come in is that they are looking to the future where they can have a one-party system, and they are hoping that they will all vote Democratic. And in my opinion, this endangers my voting rights because I want my vote to count, and I don't want illegal votes to nullify my vote.
How would they nullify your vote?
Well, if you have a bunch of illegals voting, they're going to outweigh a bunch of, you know, the other voters. They are going to be in lockstep, probably, in my opinion, with the Liberal Party, because that's who got them in this country. They're all thanking Joe Biden all over the place when they come through the border. When they get, when they come across illegally, they're all thanks to Joe Biden for letting us in. So who do you think they're going to vote for when the day comes and they're being given the right to vote? I want to ask people that. How do they think that's going to work? Because California has already done it. You're allowed to vote in local elections if you're an illegal immigrant. And in my opinion, that is un-American. I just think anybody who has come here illegally should not have a say in our government, period. You need to become a citizen, and then you can exercise some of the benefits and the rights thereof of being an American.
All right, Marie, was there anything else you wanted to add there?
Yes, I did want to throw in about your question on Facebook about our primary being pushed up. I would really like to see it pushed up. I really think it's very late in the season, and I'm disappointed. I can't cast my vote for Nikki Haley, which is who ideally I would have voted for. But if it comes up as a choice of Trump and Biden, well, that's a no-brainer to me. I would vote for Trump for a third time. But the question here is whether we should move the primary up, and I believe that would be a huge step, and also maybe get the open primary started. I think that would also be a really good idea.
Well, let me throw something out at you here. I've always thought that the presidential primary should be handled the same way as we handle the presidential general election, that everybody across the country should be voting on the same day for who the nominee, the presidential nominee, should be for their respective party. That way you don't don't get all of this nonsense of some states, the early states, being able to determine for the latter states who they can vote for and who they can't.
I totally would be for that, Bill. I totally would be for that, but that ain't going to happen. That's like asking... That's asking wolverines that are fighting to get along for the sake of eating dinner. They're going to kill each other first. That's my opinion. I think the Congress can't get out of their own way. So to ask them to work with the states and come up with a plan for that, I think that's a pipe dream. I'd love to see it. I really, truly would. But in my opinion, Congress... they can't get anything done. I mean, here we are, we're turning the clocks ahead again, and we've been promised for, I don't know, is it like 8 to 10 years that they were going to stop this nonsense? And here we are, we're turning the clocks again, even though I think the majority of Americans agree it's outdated and it causes too much disruption to people's lives. Nothing's been done.
All right, we'll have to end it there. Marie, thank you. Thank you for sharing your opinions with us today.
Okay, Bill.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. And we're going to take a break here and be back with more of your opinions. I've got a number of people on the line. Bear with me here. Steve and Bob, bear with me. I'll take your calls in just a bit.
And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Welcome back to Feedback. Let's quickly go back to the phones because a lot of people have been on hold for a while here. Let's start with Bob in Leesport. Bob, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you had an earlier caller who tried to spin Joe Biden as an intellectual giant, but obviously he forgot about his recent press conference where he confused the leader of Egypt with Mexico, or the notion that Democrats don't spread disinformation like Trump does, when liberals lie all the time, such as claiming that the arrested CIA informant Smirnov was the source of criminal accusations against Hunter Biden. And now that he has been alleged to be lying, therefore, that ends the case completely. And yet 9 years ago, the New York Times ran a piece almost on about the same thing on the Bidens when they were trying to hit them down for the sake of Hillary Clinton. Dan Bongino was just talking about this yesterday. So listen, don't talk to me about disinformation, because I think if you ask me, liberals are just as guilty, maybe even more so. But what I wanted to talk about was Christian nationalism. Now that Trump is the presumed Republican candidate, you're going to see this thrown around as if it's some kind of a sinister force out to change America into a dictatorship. I'm not going to ask you what Christian nationalism is, because it has many different definitions depending on who's using it. But the Daily Signal had an interesting article by David Harsanyi. I'm going to read parts of it. He's an atheist who ironically defends the concept of God-given rights for the sake of our country's functioning under the Constitution. So here's what he had to say. The other day, Politico reporter Heidi Prisbilla appeared on MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes to talk hysterically about the threat of Christian nationalism. Donald Trump, she explained, has surrounded himself with an extremist element of conservative Christians who are misrepresenting so-called natural law in their attempt to roll back abortion rights and other leftist policy preferences. What makes Christian nationalists different, Politico's Prisbilla went on, was that they have the nerve to believe our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority like Congress or the Supreme Court, but from a higher power. But as numerous critics have already pointed out, if that's Christian nationalism, it sounds identical to the case for American liberty offered in the Declaration of Independence. Conservatives often chalk this up, this lack of knowledge about civics, to a declining educational system. But even if progressives were fluent in the philosophy of God-given natural rights, one strongly suspects Prisbilla, like most progressives and other statists, would be uninterested. It's a political imperative to be uninterested for the sake of the state. So if natural rights are truly innate and inalienable, then the government cannot create a slew of new rights, like the right to housing, or the right to abortion, or the right to health care, or free birth control pills. And by the same token, liberals can't limit or deny rights of free expression or self-defense and due process to those they dislike or think are up to no good. You know, as President Joe Biden likes to say when speaking about the Second Amendment, no right is absolute. Yet he doesn't say the same thing about abortion, which is neither a natural right or protected in the Constitution. It's almost as if he doesn't comprehend the idea of a neutral principle. It's the kind of thinking that impels the media to put skeptical quotation marks around terms like religious liberty or so-called natural law, but never around LGBTQ rights. It's also true that Christian nationalism is now being ginned up to scare partisan non-Christian voters away from supporting a conservative political party. This is the bind post-Christian America finds itself in, tweeted historian Tom Holland. It can no longer appeal to a creator as the author of its citizens' rights, so it has to pretend that these rights somehow have an inherent existence, but that's a notion requiring no less of a leap of faith than does a belief in God. He goes on to say that as an atheist himself, he understands and accepts that it's wrong to steal, murder, and cheat, just as he can also understand that a man has an inherent right to speak freely and defend himself and family. History, experience, and an innate sense of the world tell me that is all rational. The liberties born out of thousands of years of tradition are more valid and vital than the vagaries of democracy or the diktats of a state.
I hate to do this to you, but I need you to wrap up because I got to go to a commercial break here.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's saying basically it's the only way the Constitution will work, even if we don't believe it, think that these rights are absolute and come from a higher power. So there's an atheist point of view on it.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it, Bob.
I found it very interesting. All right, take care.
You too. Bye-bye now. And hold on, Roxanne and Maria, I hate to do this to you again, but I ran real long in the first segment of the show today, so I've got a solid commercial break here to do now, and I'll be back with your calls in a bit. Roxanne and Maria, in that order, I guarantee you I will take your calls right after this commercial break. Stay with us.
Serving Myerstown, Fredericksburg, Newmanstown, and all of Lebanon County. This is News Talk 830, WEEU.
And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
And we got a couple of folks who have been awfully patient, waiting their turn to get on with us, like Roxanne in Reading. Roxanne, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Good morning, Bill. I just wanted a quick question before I make my comment. I think the topic, as I understood it, because I kind of came in a little late, is about the ability to give licenses and or real ID to illegals. Is that correct?
The way I understand it is that the governor and the secretary of PennDOT both agree that the state should issue driver's licenses and real IDs to non-citizen residents of the state.
Okay.
And it would only pertain to those who have been qualified for. Let's see here. So I get this in front of me before I. So I sound a little more intelligent than I actually am. Where is it? Here we go. Where they get temporary protected status, or TPS. Those are the only non-residents that would qualify here.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to say is, and I'm going to jump off one of the other callers who said that she sees that this as a backdoor to allowing people who are not citizens to vote. I think that's a real issue. I think it's a real problem. And I wanted to let, you know, your listeners know that right now there is a legal lawsuit against the governor of Pennsylvania and some of his cabinet members for violation of the Pennsylvania and federal election laws.
Can you be more specific? Can you give us some details on this?
It was sponsored by, I believe she's from York County. It was a representative, a PA representative, Dawn Keffer. And she said, and the whole point about the suit was because through an executive order on September the 19th of 23, the governor passed an edict for motor voter automatic. If you go in to get your license, you're automatically registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You used to have to opt out of that. I mean, you had to opt out. Now you have to opt in. And you can opt, whatever way, it's automatic. It didn't used to be automatic. Okay?
And that's the basis of this lawsuit?
And that's the basis of the lawsuit. It's basically he violated PA and federal election law by unilaterally implementing automatic voter registration. And so I'm just basically saying that he's already running, you know, doing things he's not supposed to be doing, because the only people in Pennsylvania that have the right to change any of the manner of voting, or including voter registration, is the PA General Assembly. Okay, that's part of PA law, and that's part of federal law.
Interesting. And, okay.
Yeah, and it's all well described in the suit. I've seen the actual document and I've read the whole thing. So I'm just saying, I would definitely say that he's again skirting the law between he and the Department of Transportation in trying to take the first step to getting people who are not here. Legally, they only have a temporary status, protected status, and a lot of these people never show up for their hearings, and they are kind of lost in the wilds of, you know, the United States. So what I want to say basically is that this should not be permitted.
Roxanne, thanks for bringing this to my attention. I knew that they were threatening to sue the governor over that. I had not seen that they actually went through, but I do see that they have gone through with the suit.
Right. And they have also, you know, included in the suit is Joe Biden and his cabinet. Because Joe Biden, one of the things that he's been doing is he has been giving money to each of the cabinet, you know, each of the cabinet members to be doing voter registration.
If I have time tomorrow, and I doubt I will, but if I have time tomorrow, I want to ask House Majority Leader Matt Bradford for his take on this motor voter registration thing.
Yeah, the motor voter. Yeah. Exactly. Because I think it's, like the lady said before, it's a slippery slope.
All right, Roxanne, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye now. Maria, I hate to do this to you. You've been patient so far. I know you've been on hold for almost 25 minutes now, and I'm out of time for hour number two. If you want to hang on, I will definitely take you first thing in the third hour after the news break, or if you want to call back in, I'll leave that up to you. I apologize to you. There are times where time is not my best buddy. And today is one of those days. But I'm loving the calls we're getting. Thank you for weighing in on the topics of the day. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Stay with us. Feedback continues in just a bit.
Traffic.
It's a source I can trust.
A new generation of talk. News Talk 830 WEEU.
And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Gotta keep them separated.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what that means, but yes, I'll agree with him, whatever he just said there. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. As we kick off the third and final hour of this Wednesday edition of Feedback, you're on air Town Square on the voice of Berks and Beyond, News Talk 830 WEEU. Good morning. I'm Bill Saunders, along with Sean Tansky. Our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. The email address is feedback at 830weeu.com and on our Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/feedbackweeu. We've got a question out there for you. Now that Nikki Haley has backed out of the race for president, leaving Donald Trump as the lone candidate for the remainder of the primary season, should Pennsylvania move its date, because we've got 47 days before our primary takes over and gives us a chance to vote. In the future, should we change our presidential primary date, move it up to an earlier date so that we have a greater say in the outcome? Log on to facebook.com/feedbackweeu and provide your answer on that, okay? In the meantime, I'm going to give Maria in Hamburg an award. She's been on hold for, what, 40 minutes?
Yes,
God bless you.
Only because I love you.
God bless you, woman, I tell you. I am so thankful, and I appreciate you for being a marathon holder on the phone there. Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Okay. First of all, you know, I came in the house at the tail end of that discussion with the gentleman by name Richard, and I don't know what the heck he was drinking this morning, you know, but anyway.
Well, now let's keep in mind now. Let's keep it civil here.
Yes,
I mean, Richard and everybody else who calls into the show are entitled to their opinions.
Their opinion,
okay?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm going to give you the word of the year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chaos.
I couldn't have picked a better word. Maria, you got it.
You know, I mean, I wish I had a penny for every time the word chaos, it's been mentioned, I'd be very, very rich. You know, I tell you what chaos is. It's like, you know, like when Alvin Bragg and Letitia James, you know, they start this stuff, you know, against this president, you know, this the former president, you know, and it's, you know, which, you know, I feel that, you know, this guy, you know, being in New York and built what he built, he has, you know, provided jobs for thousands and thousands of people, you know, and it's like when you put him side by side with, you know, with Biden, what is Biden? He has not built anything at all except, you know, I mean, he says about, you know, preserving democracy. No, he wants to preserve corruption. That's what the heck he wants to, you know, preserve. And, you know, and regarding, you know, the license, you know, about, you know, years ago, Bill, I had, you know, one of my friends, you know, my girlfriend, we went out to dinner, and then afterwards we stopped, you know, this one place, you know, to listen to some music. And when we came home, unfortunately, you know, like, well, you know, this guy, he came across, you know, like we were going northbound, and, you know, and he was going whatever, you know, but he came across the highway, and, you know, and if my girlfriend wouldn't have swerved the car the way he did, you know, we would have been, you know, like hurt really bad, or somebody would have probably died and stuff like that. Well, you know, some people came to our aid, you know, because the car was totaled. And the police came, and, you know, and they, you know, they went in and looked after this, you know, this person that hit us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they find him up at the, you know, Leesport Market, you know, passed out, you know, no license, nothing. And, of course, when we went to, you know, to court, you know, for this, I mean, the guy, he didn't even come. It was just, you know, the lawyer representing him. This guy, no license. You know, he was Hispanic, you know, I mean, you know, and I'll tell you what, when they had him in the car, you know, the police, you know, they had him in the police car, I was so upset, Bill, that, you know, that if the police, you know, the policemen wouldn't have held me, I was about ready to choke this man,
oh,
you know.
My.
And it's just like, you know, I just don't understand, you know, what's going on. And the other thing that I'd like to say about, you know.
Well, before you move on, I want to go back to something you said earlier, Maria, and get a clarification from you. You said that Mr. Biden only wants to, I think your words were, preserve corruption.
Yes.
What has he been convicted of where he's preserving corruption?
Happening with his son, and I, you know, and I involved he was, and, you know, and of course he's denying, and they're finding more, you know, more proof against, you know, everything that he's denying, you know, I mean, that's, you know, there's no brainer, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, the guy is, you know, he's, and when you think about all the, you know, the properties, the, you know, the home, you know, the front, you know, the home front, you know, at the beach, and, you know, and property here, and, you know, and it's like, you know, you know, a person with, you know, with a salary of like what, $179,000 a year, you know, if they have a family and they have a home, you know, they couldn't afford all that luxury like, you know, like he has had over the years, you know, and he still has, you know. So, and the other thing that I wanted to say about these prices, I am sorry, you know, they're talking about, you know, that things are better. And I can tell you right now, I used to buy ricotta cheese for like a nice container for $2.99, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like almost $7.
Wow, okay? Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, because I use a lot of ricotta cheese. You know, I cook with a lot. You know, I make.
Oh, it's delicious. I love it.
I make gourmet toast with ricotta cheese.
When do you want us all over for dinner sometime, Maria?
Absolutely. Boy, I tell you what.
You'll go through ricotta cheese just like that.
If you come over here for dinner, I probably can get rid of you.
Speaking of which, I got to go, Maria, but thank you so much for your patience today.
Yeah, so, oh, absolutely. So that's, you know, I'm just going to go and commit a sin. I'm going to the dentist.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, well,
my.
Thank God, you know, I mean, by the grace of God, I have no cavities whatsoever.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
There you go.
All right, Bill, you have a great, you know, day, and you have a great week. And looking forward to listen to all those nice people you're going to have on your show.
I got to tell you, Maria, it was worth the wait because you did put a smile on my face today.
I try. I just love people, and I love everything about life, you know.
And we love you too.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling in today, and again, thank you for your patience this morning.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, bye bye.
All right, bye bye. Now, and someone else who was waiting through the news break to come on with us from Delaware County, Swarthmore in particular, is Alex. Alex, good morning. Welcome to the show today.
Yeah, Bill, always nice to turn on the radio with my coffee, and yeah, you're perfect. You're a perfect match for the coffee in the morning. I just love listening to you.
Oh, God bless you, pal.
That lady you just had on, they should call her Vox Populi, because let me tell you something. That's the way everybody I know feels, too, because personally, here's the way I feel about it. Before I get into my subject, I'll try to be very succinct. Nikki Haley, what is her problem? Why is she has such a chip on her shoulder?
From what respect? Why do you say that?
She's so angry at Trump. For what? I mean, I don't think he was that bad of a president. I mean, he had the border in check. Our economy was doing really well. We didn't have all these foreign wars. Crime wasn't out of control. I don't see any problem. I don't know what it is. Everybody has an issue with him. All right, so he's a little bit, he's a hothead. So what? My boss is a hothead, but he runs the store good. What do I care if he's a hothead? As long as he pays me and everything goes smoothly. But Nikki Haley is like, why purposely get into a campaign and try to destroy the candidate in your party? Why?
Well, wouldn't you be angry if name-calling was directed at you all the time?
No.
No?
No. Sticks and stones. That's the old saying.
And I'm not saying that is the basis of her position on Donald Trump. But I know, me personally, if name-calling was always directed at me by someone in particular, I don't think I'd be all that happy to say, I'm gonna endorse you for president.
Well, you know, I mean, there you got to look. I'm not making excuses for Trump. I know that he gets people angry because he does that. He likes to trigger people. Why he enjoys it, I don't know. But you got to figure we're in trouble here. I mean, we got a border that's wide open, and uninvited non-citizens are streaming in. I mean, look at the cost of living. I mean, let me move on quickly now that I'm talking about the cost of living. I'm 72. I have to find a job because Social Security's, I can't make my property taxes. I'm always running out. And so I was looking. I found out. Rude awakening. No more paper applications. Everybody wants you to apply online.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my question.
And interview online, too. A lot of them are doing it through what is it?
Zoom.
Thank you, through Zoom.
Well, I mean, that basically shuts the door on a lot of seniors who have fallen behind on this technological boom like I did. And it's almost designed that way. It's almost like, let's find a way to shut out the seniors, because I'm not seeing retired people anywhere or working anywhere. I go into various convenience stores. I'm not seeing anybody over 60. Supermarkets, no, they're all young kids. I mean, I'm not seeing seniors anywhere. I'm one of the oldest people looking, but I did hire a recruiter who would help me get through the process, and he did. He tightened up my resume.
Oh, wow.
And helped me apply online to certain places. I don't know what's going to happen when the interview process comes when I get there. I think they're going to be rolling their eyes like, I don't know about this guy. But the bottom line is simply, the deck is stacked against seniors. And doesn't anybody see that?
Well, you're talking to a senior who's got a job, and thank goodness I do. I'll tell you why I'm working now. Not only do I love what I'm doing, and I love who I'm working for now, John and his wife are fabulous people who now own WEEU, and I'm very happy for that. But also, I right now with the investment market the way it is, the stock market the way it is, I don't want to be withdrawing from my retirement savings because of the fact that, so far, and I'm sure, and I'm like everybody else, thousands of dollars in the hole thanks to the way the stock market's been operating. So I'm hoping to hold off. I think now I would qualify. I don't need to withdraw from my retirement savings until I hit age 75. And I'm a ways away from that, thank God. But I'll continue working till at least age 75.
Well, I just wanted to find something in a small mom-and-pop store. They're not easy to find. I mean, I've had business cards printed up with my name and phone number on them, and I've been passing them out, and I've been just seeing if I can generate any interest with get 3 or 4 days a week would get me by. But I'm not having much help. And one more thing before I go. The lady before you was talking about immigration and all that. The story in the news was people were opening their door to these fake Water Department people, and they would come in to the house.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that story?
Yeah, I did.
And I used to tell my mom, I said, look, you're a senior. If you get a knock on that door and you don't know who's coming, no one called you in advance and saying, don't open the door. Because the minute you unlock the door, you're just literally giving a key to that person. Because now the door is open. 99% of it is complete. All they have to do is talk their way in. Don't let strangers in your house. And seniors, if people knock on your door, unless someone has called in advance and said, Maria, I'm coming, keep that door locked, because that's the safety between you and some nut who wants to come into your house and distract you, and then another guy comes in. You know how they do. It's like the pickpockets. One distracts you, the other walks by and takes your wallet.
Right.
And so please keep your wits about you and leave that door locked, because let me tell you something. This is going on in more than just Northeast Philadelphia. This is an old trick that's been going on for years. So I'm concerned about people who just – they hear a knock at the door, and they run, and they open it. Anyway, Bill, listen, I got to tell you something. You are a treasure, and you hang in there, because without Bill, there would be, I don't know what we would do out here.
Oh, Alex, thank you. I appreciate you listening all the way down there in Delaware County, buddy.
I'll stay in touch. Bye-bye.
And good luck in the job search, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, thanks for calling.
Will do.
Sue in Schwanksville, I just got your email a little while ago. I was going to read it on the air, but I'll let you talk about that yourself when we come back from this commercial break, okay? So hang in there. You're listening to Feedback on this Wednesday morning, and I thank you for doing so. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a bit.
Serving Barnesville, Schuylkill Haven, Tremont, and all of Schuylkill County. This is News Talk 830 WEEU.
And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Mm-hmm. 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. Those are the numbers if you'd like to get on feedback and share your opinion with the rest of the crowd here today. That's why we're known as your on-air town square. And we're getting a lot of feedback today. I love it. Let's go to Schwanksville in Montgomery County and talk with Sue. Sue, good morning. Welcome to Feedback Today.
Good morning. You know, at the risk of using my third call for the week, I couldn't resist this topic. So there you go.
So what do you think?
Well, you know, when you have guests tomorrow, I can still call in because you said that's exempt from the three calls.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I found out late yesterday that the House Majority Leader that we're having on tomorrow can only be with me for 20 minutes on air.
Okay, well, whatever.
So it won't be enough time to take calls from listeners, unfortunately.
Okay, that's cool. Well, you know, you have my tongue hanging out, but that's okay. So anyway, I am responding to this real ID thing. I think Marie called earlier, and she addressed this somewhat. The idea, first of all, real ID was supposed to be the ultimate document, like a passport, so that they would know absolutely who is showing up at the airport, so that when you show up at the airport, they know who you are because you've submitted yourself to all of this documentation, just like when you get a passport. And I sent you a copy of a list of all of the documentation that you will need. You know, there's group A, group 2, group 3, whatever, and you know, you need all of these things. Certified copy of your birth certificate, passport, social security number. But the thing that got my attention back when this first came out was the idea of submitting certified paperwork for every time your name changed. Now, men don't change their names when they get married, but women do. So if you're a woman and you're going to get a real ID, you need to get paperwork to show, you know, when you changed your name. Now, if you're subsequently divorced and you changed your name back, you need that paperwork too. If you got married, I've been married more than once, and so I would have to submit paperwork for every time my name changed.
Oh,
which
my
might
word.
Be four times.
Wow.
You know, if you changed it back to your maiden name or whatever. I think that's onerous, and I do think it's discriminatory against women, number one. But other than that, if they are going to just be willy-nilly handing out real IDs to these illegals that come across, do you think they're coming across the border with their birth certificate, with any kind of proof of where they live or any of this? I mean, they're not doing that. They're just going to just hand them out like candy, which defeats the purpose of the real ID. If you ask me, you don't know who these people are.
Well, I do know as far as the birth certificate is concerned, they will not accept photocopies. It has to be the actual birth certificate with the raised seal on it, or they will not accept it. So, but I don't know. I think we're assuming that this is exactly what's going to happen, that these real IDs or driver's licenses are going to be handed out willy-nilly. I want to give the state the shadow of the doubt here and say that that the same procedure that applies to residents of Pennsylvania would have to apply for these non-residents who would get these driver's licenses or real IDs.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole idea of letting people just, you know, and the other point that she brought up is when people get driver's licenses in a lot of states, they automatically can be registered to vote. And that's another problem I have. And the question that you posted on your Facebook page about should we change when we do our primaries, I don't think we should go monkeying around with our voting laws at the last minute like this again, because we did that in 2020 and it was illegal and it led to a lot of problems.
Well, my question isn't that we change it this year. If you look at the question, it's in the future, should we change when our presidential primary election is held here?
Well, you know, I mean,
because it's too late now to change this year's election.
Well, that's what we thought in 2020, but at the last minute, they made all of this kind of like, you know, Dropbox things and all these things happened at the last minute, you know. And so if they want to, they can do it at the last minute. We've seen that before. I understand people want to get in on the fun of, you know, Super Tuesday and get their vote in right away. I know a lot of people are ready for, you know, the national election right now. We're ready to vote for president right now. You know, a lot of us are. But, yeah, I think that any changes need to be handled in a methodical way so that we don't have any questions about the legitimacy of those changes.
All right, Sue, thank you for calling. I appreciate you doing so today.
Okie dokie. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye now. And I do hope Alex in Swarthmore is still listening, because Gary is on the line and he's got some suggestions for Alex. Gary, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, how you doing, Bill?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm retired military, and I guess you can call me Sergeant K.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service, Gary. Appreciate that.
And I move up this area. I used to be a recruiter in Reading. So that's why I moved to Berks County, and now I live up in Schuylkill County.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I still work. There was a gentleman on there that said he was looking for a job, and he was concerned with his age. And Home Depot have no age restriction. If they're able to do work or lift items or have past experience in contracting or plumbing or heating or electric, or just want to help around the store with customers, they're more happy to take someone.
Well, that's good to hear. I wasn't aware of that, and you're right. Now that I think about it, each time that I've been in Home Depot, I have seen retirees working there. So that's a good suggestion.
Right. And only other thing I had said about the election, I would like to see Trump and Nikki Haley be his running mate.
You know, wouldn't that be interesting? And it might still happen. One never knows. Of course, there's also talk that Nikki Haley could turn around and become the candidate for this No Labels party if they ever materialize and do something in this election cycle.
All right. Well, anyway, I say a prayer for whoever gets in there. I hope they can straighten the country out.
I'm with you.
Anyway, thank you for your call.
Gary, thank you. I appreciate you listening and for taking the time to call in, okay?
Bye.
All right, bye-bye now. And Sean, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just also thinking another suggestion for Alex is I've worked at the liquor store, Fine Wine and Good Spirits in Pennsylvania. That's another one. A couple of my coworkers there are a bit older, and that's a pretty easy job.
Notice how
well.
He said a bit older. He's being kind there.
So that's another good suggestion. It's a state job and everything.
Yeah, that's good a good
benefits.
Idea.
It's a... Everyone, the people who I work with there, they've worked there for years and years after they initially retired and finished their regular careers, and they all still enjoy it. They're all still working, so I think that's a good place. Look around there, maybe.
Now, of course, one of the benefits is not being able to drink on the job, I assume, right?
That is true.
All right, thank you. Great ideas. And Alex, if you're still listening, there you go, buddy. Who knows what you might find on feedback, okay? Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sinking Spring and speak with Bruce this morning. Bruce, thanks for calling in.
Bill, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
And look forward to hearing it every morning. Bill, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm 77 years old, and I felt I had to call in regarding some of the political issues. Something that I didn't hear brought up in the previous callers was foreign policy. And I'm very concerned about Donald Trump's foreign policy if he was to become president again. He has stated that he's not in favor of supporting the Ukraine. And he made comments, as you know, concerning the NATO alliance, that he wouldn't support the NATO countries if they weren't completely paid up. But the point is that, when he was president, he was buddy-buddy with Putin. These latest comments that he's made about the Ukraine and about NATO will only embolden Putin. And I think it's important that we continue to assist the people of the Ukraine and prevent Putin from winning over there, because not only because it's what Putin is doing is terrible, but if he wins in the Ukraine, who says he's not going to go into Europe and the Baltic countries next? And I'm very concerned about that if Trump becomes president again.
And I really think that Europe is worried about that, given the new countries that are now becoming members of NATO as a result.
Yes. And Bill, actually, Putin, I think, is, even though he made comments that he was for Biden, I really don't believe that. I think he's really for, you know, his friend Trump. He wants an ally in the White House who won't stand up to him, who won't stand up to him in the Ukraine or in NATO. And I'm very concerned about that. And also, I would just add this, that Joe Biden has a lot of faults, as we all know. You know, both he and Trump are quite old, I think, to be president. And that said, I do believe, though, that Biden does believe in our democracy. My other concern about Trump is that if he becomes president again, Bill, he's going to be even more authoritarian than he was during the first term. And I'm concerned that our freedoms may be in jeopardy, and that he's going to move towards like a one-man rule. Like he's going to not listen to his advisors. You know, during his first term, he had some good advisors. And when people would tell him no, instead of respecting their views, he would get rid of them, basically. This time, if he gets in, I'm concerned he's going to have a lot of yes men around him who won't tell him no and say, well, wait a minute, Mr. President, maybe that's not a good idea. You know, and he's very impulsive, Trump is, and he doesn't really think things through. So I wanted to call. Everybody has their opinions, Bill, and I respect everyone's opinions. But I wanted to also express my opinions regarding the political process this year.
And I'm glad you did. And Bruce, I hope this isn't the last time that you call in. I'd love to hear from you in the future as well.
All right. And thanks for the great program, Bill. Really enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. And thank you for your service to our country. Okay.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too now. Bye-bye. And Matt and Julie, I'll be with you in just a bit. Got to take care of a little bit of business first. You're listening to Feedback on this Wednesday morning, and I thank you for that. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a bit.
Serving Tamaqua, Pottsville, Pine Grove, and all of Schuylkill County. This is News Talk 830 WEEU.
The voice of Berks and Beyond.
Let's quickly go back to the phones right now as Feedback, your on-air Town Square, continues here on The Voice of Berks and Beyond, News Talk 830 WEEU. Go to Shellington and speak with Matt today. Matt, good morning. Welcome
to
the show.
Good morning to you, Bill. Hey, first, a big shout out to caller Bruce for expressing views that we don't hear very often. His comments truly make this an on-air Town Square. So, yes, I hope we hear from Bruce again as well. Also, Bill, based on what you said earlier in the show, years from now, if you continue to work and find, Bill, you're getting a little tired as you approach your 75th birthday, I will remind you that Johnny Gilbert, the man famous for the line, "This is Jeopardy!" He continues to work, Bill, and last July, Johnny turned 95. So there's a goal for you, my friend, okay?
Yeah, but he doesn't do a three-hour talk show, though.
Oh, yeah, you do work a bit harder, I will admit that. Hey, also, I must admit, you made me laugh yesterday when you mentioned the name Keith Olbermann and how he said that the Supreme Court should be dissolved after it's overturning the Colorado Supreme Court. I followed his writing, Bill. Let me put it this way. If I had 99 cents plus Olbermann's expertise on the Supreme Court, I still couldn't buy anything at the dollar store. He was an excellent sportscaster at ESPN, but he chose to go into political commentary, and as far as I was concerned, he should have stayed with sports. I mean, the notion of dissolving, we all know, Article 3 of the Constitution created the Supreme Court, and it is proven to be a check on the executive and legislative branches. So the idea of dissolving the court because you disagree with the ruling is nothing short of ludicrous. And I know you covered a lot of the details, and other callers did yesterday, but on Monday's decision overturning the Colorado Supreme Court, the major decision issue was very simple. Does a state have the power to remove the name of a candidate for a federal office? Well, you know, the court answered unanimously that the state does not have that power. And then the five-justice majority added that only Congress can remove a federal candidate. And, Bill, it's called a concurring opinion. You know what that is. The other four justices said it was not necessary to go add on and spell out the role of Congress. All they needed to say was that the state does not have that power. And as I looked at it, Bill, it was that decision is largely consistent with so many other decisions under what's seen as Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution. I wouldn't expect anyone to know where that is, but it's, I think you've all heard of this, Bill. It's what's known as the Supremacy Clause. Let me quote it. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance of it, shall be the supreme law of the land, and judges in every state shall be bound thereby. So basically, Bill, what that clause states and what the courts have interpreted is whenever there's a conflict between the U.S. Constitution and state constitutions or laws, the federal constitution, federal law, does take precedent. And you know where there's a fine line, Bill? We haven't mentioned this. Think about the states that have recreational marijuana legalized. Technically, marijuana is illegal under federal law. But they're doing like a tiptoe or dance around in these states, Bill, that the federal government doesn't want to arrest people or close down these clinics. But if you got into a big fight over it, I would think if the federal law makes it illegal, that could take precedence over the state laws. But no one is jumping in, you know, with that. So I'll conclude it this way, Bill. It's one thing to allow states to make their own rules on abortion or in vitro fertilization, which is, as the Dobbs ruling pretty much allows. But could you imagine, Bill, what if some states banned Trump from the ballot? And who's to say some other states, what if they voted to remove Biden's name from the ballot? What kind of an election would that be, or talk about chaos? So thank you for all bringing that up, Bill. Just wanted to share my thoughts. Okay?
And I am glad that you shared your thoughts with us today.
You,
thanks,
you,
Matt. Bye-bye now. Let's go to Reamstown and speak with Julie today. Julie, welcome to Feedback Today.
Well, thank you. I have a question for you as to what would happen in a hypothetical situation here. And this concerns the age of the two basic nominees. Now, if Biden would pass beforehand, that's wouldn't be unexpected because he really doesn't look very healthy. Okay.
I think he does look healthy though. For an 81-year-old, you don't think Biden looks healthy?
Oh, I think for an 81-year-old, but not an 81-year-old president.
Well, you know, the office does tend to age you.
They all come out gray.
Oh, absolutely. But in Biden's case, he went in gray and he's going to go out gray. And I don't mean that in a funny way, but it's just with his age. But no, I think for someone his age, I think he's in relatively good health.
Yeah, but just not as the president of the United States is what my thing is. No,
all right. So how do you mean that? Share with me what you mean by that then.
Just different ways he handles himself, because I'm up there with him, you know, and I just see some of the things that are age-related with me that I see happening with him, but that's not the point. The point is they are making a big deal about his health, so if something happens, it wouldn't be any big surprise. What happens if Trump would suddenly die in this situation where there is no backup, really, since he's the only one running, basically?
how would they handle that if he dies before the election?
Now, that is a very good question, and I gather at this point, Sean, can you Google that for me real quick? I don't have the answer off the top of my head, but we'll see what young Sean can come up with in his Google. But that's an interesting scenario, because at this point, Donald Trump has hinted as to who he might select as his vice president. I think he came out with a list of, what, three people or so that he might choose as his vice president, but hasn't made a definitive answer at this point. So even that, we don't have a vice presidential candidate to fall back on. So your question is a very good one, and one that if we don't have an answer today, I can definitely ask the expert on Friday. If you're tuned in, I can ask Dr. Tim Blessing when he's on the show with us. But off the top of my head, I don't have an answer to that. What if?
Yeah, because he's a. I don't care for his personality, but his policies are okay. But he always comes across as so vibrant and what have you. And you're not thinking in terms of him suddenly having a heart attack or throwing an emboli or something like that. And it's just at his age, he could suddenly just pass.
Well, he is overweight for a man of his height and his age. That is one thing that was even a concern when he was president. And even more so now that he's even older. So both candidates have some health concerns. And I think the public has every right to be concerned about them. I guess, Sean, you haven't been able to find an answer yet?
None for the opposing party, I guess. Like, for the presidency, it's obviously the vice president would get the nomination, but I'm having trouble trying to find what would happen for the opposed party.
All right, and I'll tell you what, Julie, it'd probably be better if I just say that I'll ask this of Tim Blessing when he's in here. He definitely would have the answer for you.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, well, thanks for your call today, and you enjoy your day, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, Julie, bye-bye now. And let's see, we've got a little bit of time here. So let's see what, here's something that I found rather interesting. This I think I can do in the amount of time we've got left. I got this from Fox Business. They're saying that a digital consultant who combed through files on Google Gemini, now that's Google's artificial intelligence, the person warned that the artificial intelligence model that Google has worked out has baked in bias, resulting from parameters that define toxicity and determine what information it chooses to keep invisible. Now, a lot of people feel that Google does that very same thing with their search engine. And now it seems that they're doing it with their artificial intelligence model. If you ask it a question, the way they've got it built in, that it will only give answers that Google wants you to hear. On December 12th, Ruby Media Group CEO Chris Ruby posted an ominous tweet that said, and I quote, "I just broke the most important AI censorship story in the world right now. Let's see if anyone understands. Hint, Gemini," she wrote. "The Gemini release was a ton of data in it. It is explosive," she wrote. "Let's take a look at the real toxicity and bias prompts," she added. "According to the data, every site is classified as a particular bias. Should that be used as part of the data sets of what will define toxicity?" Well, she was the first tech analyst to point out these potential concerns regarding Gemini, months before members of the press and users on social media noticed issues with responses provided by the artificial intelligence. So, yeah, there you have it. Google seems to love to build in things within their search engine and now within artificial intelligence that will only release information they want you to say, or so the critics claim. All right, we'll be back with more feedback in just a bit. Stay with us.
News, talk, and weather.
It's the topics that matter to me.
A new generation of talk. News Talk 830 WEEU.
And As Sean found out in his search on the internet, the answer to Julie's question is that it depends with your what if question. It depends on when the presidential candidate passes on. If they were to pass before the party's nomination party, before the convention rather, then the delegates at the convention can choose an alternate. If it happens afterwards, then what is the situation there real quick?
I closed the article. Oh, I don't have it.
All right. We'll
find that tomorrow.
We'll have that for tomorrow. All right. That does it for today. Thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate you weighing in with your opinions of the topics of the day, because you folks are the stars of this show. You make this show. And I do appreciate everybody who took the time to call in or write in. We'll do it again tomorrow. Sean, thank you, buddy.
No problem, Bill.
All right, news time is next. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow. That'll do it for this episode of Feedback. To comment on the show, you can email us at feedback@830weeu.com. You can also hear our show live from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time at 830weeu.com or on the TuneIn app. For producer Sean Tansky, I'm Bill Saunders. Thanks for listening.